I wasn't sure Akifo could get up the whole borehole, much less past the string.
We can't keep it on track, Franson said, looking at his readouts. We're getting a lot of anomalous movement. Something, and I'd say it's your Akifo worm, is banging the hell out of the string. Couple of hits, stops, couple more. From what I'm reading, it looks like they're getting closer.
It's sending up a pseudopod to find out who's hurting it. Can you tell how far away?
Hang on,
Al said, starting to strip out of his suit. Careful, I said. The stuff was foaming up even more when it hit the holy water being mixed into it, and giving off horrible-smelling steam. The holy water was literally burning when it came in contact with evil. That explained the heat at the drill head. Don't touch the foam.
Ain't gonna.
The upper part of Al's silver suit was around his waist. He backed up onto the string and held up a hand to keep the driller from pushing forward. The string was still spinning, but he put his hand on the string, carefully, and felt it.
Couple thousand feet at least. I can feel the impacts. They're not hard. More like occasional soft pushes. I'd say you're right. It's trying to follow the string back to here. So what are you going to do about it? We can't keep drilling if you're shooting around my hole.
I keyed my radio. Boss, this is Hand. Akifo worm is working its way up the string to find the source of the attack. 2,000 feet and closing. Maybe a partial breakthrough at the string.
Got that?
Old man Shackelford radioed back. Oh, yeah. I said almost everybody had turned out for this. MHI had brought in the big guns.
So far, there ain't no reports of activity outside. Teams 2 and 4, peel off and reinforce on the hole.
The hunters confirmed. If that Akifo showed itself, it was in for a surprise.
I can perhaps help,
a voice said over my shoulder. It was another of the priests from the Secret Guard, Father Ferguson.
The pseudopod will have to push its bulk up through the bore while being burned with holy water. Given the effect we are already seeing, I don't see it doing so. However, if I am wrong, I can probably hold it at the bore opening.
With what, Father?
Gordon asked as he put his suit back on.
The power of faith, young man, Father Ferguson said.
This creature is ultimate evil. It burns from the mere touch of holy water. It cannot face the full holy power of God.
Well, Father, as you say.
Gordon hefted a 45-70 lever action.
You use the power of God. I'll just shoot it, if you don't mind.
As long as you pay mine to ricochets,
Father Ferguson said, smiling faintly.
I'm averse to friendly fire.
And I think we got Mava juice, I said, turning my face away with my hand over my nose. The stuff coming out of the borehole was now beyond foul. If the holy water had had any effect on it, the power had been spent in a long lift from the depth. Generally a gray-green to black, it was coming out in vile-smelling chunks, and you could feel the evil coming off it in waves. I shook my head as my mind was assaulted by unclean images. It was like it was reaching into my brain and pulling out every sin I'd ever committed or thought about committing. If this was the remnant, post-cleansing essence of an old one, I could see why a breakthrough would be bad on toast. Forget the servants, the zombies and whites and ghouls and vampires that would be called to it and wreak havoc in its unholy name. Every human being in the range of its effect would act out every evil fantasy they'd ever had to the best of their ability. Total chaos would reign in seconds.
That is quite unpleasant, Father Ferguson said, apparently unperturbed.
I looked over at Al, who was looking at the weapon in his hand. Al, I said, as calmly as I could. Just put it down. I didn't know who he had enough of a problem with to want to kill. But I'd found myself fingering my silver-loaded .45 and contemplating that Earl, who I still blamed for the loss of my last team, was nearby and possibly wouldn't see it coming. I knew what was going on, though. I'd faced something similar with the vampire one time. I knew how to fight it. It was hitting Gordon bad, though. The silver suits and respirators were useless against this stuff.
Shit. Shit. Shit.
The driller was saying.
Give me the weapon, Mr. Gordon,
Father Ferguson said calmly. He laid his hand on Al's shoulder and placed the other hand on the weapon.
Don't let this power take you. You are a good person, Mr. Gordon. This thing's power is not greater than God's. Feel the power of God upon you, Mr. Gordon. Feel the sin fall from your mind.
Gordon blinked at that and slowly handed the priest the .45-70.
That's better,
Father Ferguson said, setting the rifle on the desk.
We are here on behalf of God, against which no evil can prevail. All of you, fight the evil. Push it from your hearts and trust in God.
This thing had to be put to bed permanently. Forget strange eons and shit. It had to die now. That was the one dark part of me that I was willing to let loose at that moment. The sheer desire to rend this evil thing to permanent, unquestionable death. The main thing that I noticed, immediately, was that the open tank where additional holy water was being admixed with the foul ichor from the borehole was boiling with power and foaming up. It was about to overflow. I ran over and grabbed one of the spare pipe sections and put it across the top, just like putting a wooden spoon on a pot that was boiling over. The mess settled down, but I wasn't sure we were getting all the evil out of it. The outflow was still nasty as shit. And the smell. I finally just went over to the side and retched. I wasn't the only one.
We need to increase the ratio of holy water being mixed, Mr. Gordon,
Father Ferguson said.
Can we do that?
Yes,
Gordon said, still holding his head.
Yes, we can. Dan, increase the pump rate on the mix water. Triple it.
Got it.
Dan was just as clearly feeling the effects from the stuff, but he started adjusting dials.
I would recommend holding the drill for now, Father Ferguson said. Just let the holy water pump into the body of the beast. When we start to get less horror coming up, then push downward. Do that over and over again to clear out one section. Then perhaps adjust the drilling or withdraw and drill another portion.
You've done this before? I asked the mysterious priest.
Nothing even close. Call it divine inspiration. Sounds like a plan, Father,
Gordon said, then made a face.
Father, sorry about that back there. Everyone holds some sin in their heart, son.
Father Ferguson patted him on his silver shoulder.
Everyone. It is like fear in combat. Everyone has some. It is what you do about it that matters. After this battle, we'll talk. But for now, we do battle against one of the worst evils mankind has ever seen in its history. That gets you some solid points with the Almighty.
Where are we with the worm? I asked.
Stop the spin. Just hold in place and pump mud.
Al put his hand back on the string and felt it for a second.
I can feel it moving up. Different now. I think now that there's more bad in the mud and less good, it can just run right up the bore.
I put my hand on the string and felt what he was talking about. The string was mostly still on our end, slight vibration from the idling drill rig, but you could feel a bumping against it. How he could tell how far, I had no idea. There was an art to it.
Can you switch to pure water, no admix in the mud? I asked.
It'll tend to break down the walls of the bore,
Gordon said.
Which, come to think of it, would be good. Dan, cut the mix on the mud. Pure holy water.
All the mud, now pure holy water, came out at the bottom of the drill at the bit. The new mix had to first go down thousands of feet, then back up. I keyed my radio.
Sam, Milo, get down here on the drill rig,
I radioed.
We have a situation.
Then I switched frequencies.
Boss, this is Hand at the rig. The Mava mix was overwhelming the holy water. We've stopped progressing the drill and are just flowing holy water to it. Be about 30 minutes until that has effect and we see what that does. The stuff coming up is almost pure Mava essence. The mud isn't burning the Khifo worm anymore, and it's coming straight up the bore. We may have a Khifo outbreak here shortly. Call down my backup. Copy all that?
Copy, Hand, Ray the Third said, not over the radio, but from right over my shoulder. That stuff isn't half horrible, is it? Kind of claws at your mind.
I should have known the old man would show up right wherever the trouble was. If he was having any issues with whatever was clawing at his mind, it wasn't obvious. I suddenly had to wonder what sort of sins lay in the heart of MHI's CEO. I'm starting to think Earl needs to stay as far away from this as possible, I said carefully.
Good point, young man.
The boss touched his radio.
Earl, do not approach the drill site. Say again, do not come near the drill site.
Feeling it from clear up here,
Earl replied. He was on the roof with the gun teams waiting for the servants to show up. We'd expected some mental effects, but nothing like this.
Wondered what that was. I'm heading for the far end of the warehouse.
Father Madruga could possibly assist him,
Father Ferguson said.
If he is having troubles.
The boss and I looked at each other at that one.
With respect, Father, probably not,
he said carefully.
Earl has particular issues in regards to rage.
Father Ferguson thought about that for a moment.
Yes, I was briefed. A most unfortunate curse, and one of the rare wills able to constrain it. Will he be able to maintain control, given the circumstances?
I've never seen him lose it, Father, I said.
I have, the boss said sadly. Harbinger will be under a particularly harsh assault,
Father Ferguson said. Gordon had gone off to adjust something else on the rig, so no one else was close enough to hear him over the machinery.
If he is driven to change because of the influence of this evil, if Earl is taken over by this foulness, I will take the appropriate action myself. It's my duty, my responsibility.
Boss Shackelford thought about that for a long time. Then he said something that came as a complete surprise to me.
He's my father.
I'd never seen that particular expression on the old man's face. I could swear to God he was damn near crying. I put it down to the effect of that evil goop. Only thing that could have been causing it. That, and I'd just noticed this fucking warehouse was dusty as hell. What the fuck was it like growing up with a father who was Earl? Because they kind of looked the same, I'd kind of always figured Earl was the boss's illegitimate son. I'd had that completely backwards. The puff adjuster had used Shackelford as one of Earl's names. How old was Earl when he got to being Earl? Come to think of it, how old was Earl? The boss had to be in his 60s, and Earl couldn't have been normal when he'd... How old was Earl? We got anything from SIU yet? Was what I asked, because there were questions you don't ask, especially not at a time like that.
Not so far,
boss said, the unburned half of his face hardening.
I guess this thing's gonna start the party when that worm gets up here and finds out where here is.
What the fuck is...
Sam Haven said as he and Milo arrived. They both had their hands over their noses and mouths, and Sam seemed to be having some issues as well. His hands kept gripping the M203 he was carrying. Hard. That's the Mava juice. Sam and I had both opted for M203s. Most of what we expected to fight wasn't susceptible to silver, and the 5.56 worked well enough at zombie shots. For that matter, it would tend to slow down some vamps, as well as whites and ghouls if you got a headshot. Last, the 40mm grenade worked on everything. Milo was rocking a flamethrower and sidearms. He clearly didn't like the smell coming from the hole, but if the mystical effects were bugging him, Milo didn't let it show. He still seemed as perpetually cheerful as ever.
"Don't allow the evil to touch you, son,"
Father Ferguson said, laying his hand on Sam's arm.
"It tries to find your sins, those you have committed, on those you have contemplated, to use those against you. Fight it. Find God.
I'm trying, Father,
Sam said, working the tobacco in his cheek. He spit to the side and shook his head.
Ain't gonna let no boogeyman bring up nothing I've fought most of my life.
How are you doing, my son?
Father Ferguson asked Milo.
I'm good. My sins aren't comparatively interesting in this crowd.
You are strong in faith,
Father Ferguson replied, smiling.
It pours off you like the evil from this monstrosity.
I just pray a lot,
Milo said humbly.
And he refuses to do anything bad, like ever,
I said, grinning.
Most boring friend I've got.
We had about a dozen hunters gathered around the rig. I put my hand on the string again and shook my head.
Now I could tell it was close.
This is it. Any suggestions?
Fire? Milo said, holding up the nozzle to his flamethrower.
That's your answer to everything.
Don't damage the equipment. The mud comes back out and is pumped to that tank,
Gordon said, muffled by the silver suit.
Your napalm is going to burn the sh—
he glanced at the priest—
sugar out of all that. I should be able to hold it here,
Father Ferguson insisted.
Not disagreeing with you, Padre, but a backup plan is always useful,
the boss said.
If you bless the tank on that fire truck, we'll get one of the fire hoses,
Sam suggested.
Kill the worm with more holy water. Direct application. I like it,
the boss said. I get the nozzle, you get the hose, I said as we unrolled one of the fire hoses. The NOFD guys had not been happy to hear one of the Kifo worms was headed up the bore. They'd turn on the pump for us, but they weren't going anywhere near the hole that was spewing mind-altering evil.
Hell with that, Sam said. It was my idea.
You're the new guy. You get the hose.
You can't even handle one of those things, Sam protested. They whip around like nobody's business. You're scrawny. You're gonna get picked up and thrown around the room.
Not if you're doing your job on the hose, I said.
Exactly.
Fire it up, I yelled. I had the gate mostly closed on the nozzle, but we'd want pressure right away if we needed it. The hose started to writhe as the water pressed forward, and, as instructed, I had enough of an opening for the air to come out. There wasn't much since the hose was flat, but it came out with a nasty shriek. Then we had water. I closed the nozzle all the way.
This thing tries to get away from you, Sam said, holding on tight. You'd better hope I don't lose my grip.
Always said seals were wimps, I said.
You did not go there. You picked the one time we're getting murderous thoughts blasted right into our brains to piss me off. Just tempt me to kick your ass, why don't you?
You're the one complaining about something the most junior fireman can figure out, I pointed out.
It's here,
Father Ferguson shouted. The Kifo worm erupted through the borehole in a mass of eyes and teeth and pustulant pseudopods. The drillers ran screaming. They weren't really doing anything at the moment anyway. It was having to press its bulk around the mass of the string and up through the narrow bore. So it was much smaller than normal, and it was causing the muck from the mava to squirt everywhere, which was vile. Some of it splashed on me, and the wave of evil thoughts got worse. I started to open up the valve, but Father Ferguson just stepped forward fearlessly.
"Begone, spawn of evil," he shouted,
holding his cross out.
"This place is sealed against you."
The Kifo worm shrieked in agony and sucked back down the bore and out of sight. There were a bunch of hunters ready to attack, but we really didn't want to accidentally damage the equipment.
Kifo worm really didn't like the Padre, I radioed. It's back in the hole. Hold your fire.
Gordon overcame his fear, went back, put his hand on the string, and shook it.
I don't feel anything,
he shouted.
Stand back, everyone, I said.
I put the valve on spray and hosed down the entire area. Wherever the blessed water hit the Mava Ichor, the two reacted like a couple of combustible chemicals. In the process, I got myself and Sam nice and wet. The burn from the holy water hitting the Mava juice didn't even feel like burning, more of a tingling sensation. The unholy thoughts it caused faded a bit. They didn't go away entirely, but I'm no saint. Chapter 22. The drill team kept working. Get a little deeper into the Mava's guts, then pump it full of holy water. Once the foulness died off, repeat. Between the priests taking turns at the hole and liberal applications of holy water, the Kifo worm had not been able to come up the borehole. Except this was going to be a war of attrition, and the larval old one was desperately trying to defend itself. I was up on the roof, taking a mandated break from the Mava's evil aura. The evil thoughts got better the further away you got from the hole. I was standing near Earl when we got the radio call from the police.
"Every single dead thing in New Orleans is heading for your position, Shell," Juliet told us. "You got roadkill snake zombies headed your way. I've got calls coming in from all over the city. Graveyards are waking up. According to the officers on scene, every tomb is either smashed open or rocking," the dispatcher radioed. "They're not attacking anyone, just headed your way. I don't know what deity you pissed off, honey, but it is seriously pissed."
"Roger, dispatch. Thank you for that. Tell your officers do not engage. I repeat, do not engage. Keep civilians out of the way and let the undead pass," Earl radioed back, then turned to me. "See? We told them we were better off breaking through in the middle of the night while most folks were safe in their homes."
He sounded remarkably calm, considering the news that potentially thousands of undead had just been summoned to kill us.
"MHI team, stand by. SIU, come in."
"SIU here," Rivette replied. "Confirm dispatch. We've got all sorts of things approaching our perimeter."
That meant some of the undead had reached the surrounding blocks that local law enforcement had evacuated for us.
"Do not resist, SIU. Get out of the way and let them pass. We're ready for them."
"Roger, MHI," Rivette radioed. "Good luck."
"Fortune favors the prepared," Ray the Third said over the radio.
That old man was so hard that he had stayed by the drill the whole time, unfazed.
"MHI teams, this is it. We have been the thin line between the darkness and the light for dang near 100 years, and we ain't ending here. We're about to put the fear of God into these undead sons of bitches. When we're done, New Orleans is going to be the most peaceful place on earth. Now cowboy up, kill the monsters, and get paid."
"We got incoming," Earl radioed as the old man finished. "Looks like whites or vamps. Moving fast on the first quadrant. Scattered. Looks like about 20.
I could not make out what he was pointing at, but someone at that corner did, and opened up with a ma deuce.
"Time for our secret weapon. I hope the fucking thing works."
Earl turned around and shouted toward the middle of the roof.
"Ray, how's it going?"
Ray had been working on something here at the warehouse for weeks. The Shackelfords wouldn't say a word about what it was. Apparently it was complicated, so Ray had asked for Milo's help, but not mine, which was a little insulting.
"It uses a complex system of mathematical calculations based on the geometry of ley line intersections. If I'm off in the archaic system of coordinates by much at all, a priceless magical artifact will be irreparably lost forever. So how do you think it's going?"
"Which is why we never move the stupid thing out of Cazador,"
Earl muttered so that only I could hear him.
"Great, Ray. Now hurry and wrap it up. We've got incoming."
"Damn confusing magic rock."
Ray swore a bunch more as he went back to working on something inside a big steel safe that had been bolted to the roof.
"No pressure or anything."
"Earl, what is that thing?"
"One of Isaac Newton's wardstones."
"Fuck. I'd read about those at Oxford. Hell, the only reason there was a library at Oxford was that
Isaac Newton had built one of these things to save England from a great old one. They were considered one of the rarest, most valuable, most powerful alchemical inventions of all time, creating a field that violently expelled necromantic energy. You have a wardstone?
Yeah, just the one. I stole it from Adolf Hitler.
Okay, how fucking old are you? Never mind. A wardstone? You're risking a wardstone here? That's gotta be worth billions of dollars. You could buy a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier with one of those. I read they are fragile and sensitive. They wear out. There aren't hardly any of them left, and our best scientists can't recreate them. The smallest screw-up, and it's done.
Yep.
Earl paused to light a cigarette.
I'm aware. We've got it dialed in for Cazador safely, but I only risk moving it for special occasions because any time we move it could be the last. But I figured this party qualified.
That's a hell of a risk.
Remember how you were all pissed off at me because I didn't give a shit about your team and I didn't give a shit about your town? Truth is, I had no way of knowing what was going to happen to Mardi Gras. I made a call. I sent hunters where I thought they would be needed most. I guessed wrong. People died. My people died. Innocent people died. When you're a leader, it's all balancing risks against costs. And sometimes life comes along and kicks over the scale. You needed somebody to blame, and that's fine. I've had a long damn time losing a lot of good men to get used to it. Earl, don't care, Hand. But don't ever fucking question my commitment to my hunters again. And if you're ever tempted, just remember I brought the Mona Lisa to a knife fight for you.
Dr. Henderson would have shit bricks. Hell, the entire faculty of Oxford would have shit so many bricks he could build a house. But I was more warrior scholar than just scholar. Will it actually kill the undead like they say?
I think we're good, Ray shouted.
Just enjoy the show. Earl grinned.
For the next 20 minutes, I watched undead pop like firecrackers. Shamblers kept on coming. When they crossed the invisible border, they just exploded. Other shamblers would see that happen, but they were too stupid to process the danger, and they'd just blunder on until it was their turn to explode too. The smarter undead, like ghouls and wights, they'd see one explode, and then the rest would hold back, waiting. Every now and then, those would start screeching like they were whipped into a frenzy, and they'd rush forward to die. A quick check on the radio confirmed that the frenzies coincided with the drill moving forward, deeper into the body of the Mava. It was driving them to attack us. We were killing so many undead that even if we failed to eradicate the larval old one, the city would be quieter just from the lack of corpses to animate. But the Mava was getting desperate. We got a panicked radio call from Franzen. His reading suggested that there was a lot of activity beneath us, as in possibly dozens of Kifo worms digging their way toward us.
Problem is, we don't know if the wardstone will kill the pseudopods.
Ray the Fourth had joined us at the edge of the roof to watch the fireworks display.
It destroys undead, but when we've used it on typical servants of the old ones, it just hurts and drives them off.
I've got a feeling these will be so motivated they'll push through the pain, I said. Then we got another call from the police.
Bad news, Sheriff, Juliet said. We don't know what to make of it, but I figured I'd warn you. One of them worms broke into the morgue. Doc Worab says it grabbed all the corpses right off the hooks. He said he could see the bodies getting sucked into the ground like they were going down a straw. Then the worm just disappeared. Then a minute later, got a call from a patrol car, said the same thing, only the worm came up through the road and gobbled up a bunch of shamblers that were headed your way.
Thanks for that, SIU, Earl said. Any idea what that means?
Maybe it's eating them for energy, Ray the Fourth said. The Kifo must be able to sense the necromantic energy, and it's reaching out to them. Or something.
That sounds weird as hell. I have no idea what it's doing, and that scares me.
It was time for me to get back to the rig.
You could hear the Ma Deuce open up overhead, and here I was holding a freaking fire hose.
Quad 2, Franklin radioed. Fast movers on the south flanking roof incoming. I've got at least 10 bodies on this worm.
It hadn't taken long for us to figure out why the Mava had suddenly started absorbing every dead body it could get its grubby pseudopods on. Regular undead blew up when they tried to cross the Wardstone's boundaries. Kifo worms began to burn, but it took a while for them to break apart. But wrap a body in Kifo slime, attach it to the worm with a nasty tentacle like an umbilical cord, and that zombie suddenly had staying power. Not to mention they were suddenly a whole lot faster, stronger, and they could come flying at you like a yo-yo on the end of a string. Kifo worms had started erupting through the asphalt all around our warehouse. They hadn't made it through our heavily reinforced floor yet, but it felt like a constant low-level earthquake in here, and there were cracks appearing. There was a massive thundering against the walls at that moment, and one section of what I'd thought was impregnable precast concrete disintegrated as another Kifo worm broke through.
Oh, no you don't, I said, turning and opening up with holy water.
As the water hit, the worm was covered in burning foam, but slime-coated undead launched themselves at us. An NOFD firefighter was lifted into the air, screaming. A slime-covered white tried to grab one of the exorcists and recoiled as he lifted his cross and shouted in Latin. More worms were breaking through the walls and squirting undead at us. They were freaking everywhere. They were all attacking at once. No wonder the Chinese lost 5,000 men. But they didn't have a fire truck full of holy water. I let the hose blast, playing the nozzle back and forth across one long wall of the warehouse. The spray would only reach so far, so I started working my way down the wall, blasting worm after hideous worm. Like napalm, it stuck, causing a reaction that was even nastier than their normal. Chunks of the worms were burning off from the foam. Ghostly blobs of dissolving flesh were everywhere. But it wasn't enough. More were still breaking through. We were getting hit from so many places at once that I couldn't keep up with all the warnings on my radio. The real problem was the NOFD guys. One team of them had gotten a hose into action and were attacking the worms. The rest were running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to find a way to escape. And there wasn't one because we were inside a building that we'd turned into a sealed bunker. While some of us were spraying the worms, other hunters were shooting. Only the corpses covered in slimy tentacles were extra hard to kill. You could head shoot a zombie all day and do nothing, since it was now basically the Mava's puppet.
Screw the walls! We need to back up to the drill!
Sam was still on the hose behind me.
That's what we need to protect.
These things will figure out we've got people on the roof. Want to bet they can't punch through?
Earl will handle it. Only chance we've got to kill this thing is the drill.
He began backing up.
We protect the drill and the drillers.
Roger,
I said, backing up with him. A Kifo worm came in from off vector and I couldn't get the hose around fast enough. Then a stream of fire hit it.
Holy water ain't the only thing they're afraid of,
Milo shouted as the Kifo worm backed away, covered in napalm. The thrashing tossed burning jellied gasoline everywhere. I had to spray the stuff it caught. We had a lot of flammables in the building.
Boss,
Sam said, keying his radio.
Get the firemen to pull their trucks toward the drill rig.
On it,
Ray the Third radioed back.
Bullets ain't doing shit. All MHI on the ground floor. Grab hoses as teams. Fight these things with holy water. Milo, that means you. Quit spraying fire all over the place.
The old man had been badly burned in Seattle, ruining half his face and one of his hands. He'd had a lot less liking for flamethrowers since then. and we had a more or less continuous stream of holy water as long as the pumps kept running. The various priests and assembled clergy were now in the tanks of holy water, blessing them and covering each other with the power of God as the Kifo worms approached. The worms, though, had a hard time getting to them. Being burned by the power of God and Isaac Newton, they didn't have as much structural integrity and could only lift so far in the air. They were mostly crawling along on the ground, and the entire area around the tanks was, at this point, covered in holy foam. Not to mention it probably had a bad radius from their POV that went out a ways.
"You!" Sam yelled as one of the firefighters ran past. "Get in the tank! It's holy water! They can't get you there!"
The guy, of course, totally ignored him and ran straight past one of the worms. A pseudopod flicked out and wrapped him up.
"Shit!"
Sam snarled. I was playing the hose back and forth, trying to keep them off of us, off the drillers, off the rig. It wasn't working. Other teams were running hoses, too. As a Kifo approached, I found myself covered in foam.
"Watch where you're pointing that!"
"They won't touch you if you're covered,"
the boss yelled from behind us.
"Spray everybody who's not in the tanks!"
Well, most of the NOFD had either gotten in the tanks or were dead. Some of the drillers had been taken as well. That left, I turned around and sprayed the old man and Milo right in the face.
"You're welcome,"
I yelled. Then my feet slid out from under me. It was both horrific and humorous. The foam was slippery as hell, and it was getting everywhere. The Kifo worms were starting to withdraw from the walls because it was everywhere. They couldn't lift themselves out of it, and it was eating away at their blasphemous tissues, burning them with holy essence. What was happening outside the warehouse was arguably worse than what was happening inside. New Orleans had been collecting more and more undead over the years, drawn by the field effect of the larval old one. We'd killed them as fast as we found them, but it turned out there were lots of things we'd never known were in the New Orleans area. Those are not dead which sleeping lie, and many of them had been gathering, awaiting the arrival of their dark master. Now they were all surfacing, shielded in slime, tethered to a baby dark god, and attacking the warehouse. At a certain point, it gets down to statistics. When MCB finally showed up, along with the National Guard, the Army, and every single other group that had somewhat been read in on the supernatural or could be trusted to keep their mouths shut, a count was made of everything that was now fully dead in the area of the warehouse. In many cases, that involved counting limbs, dividing by four, and rounding up. Undead were flooding in from all over the region and ignoring anything to get to the warehouse. Ghouls were running full tilt down I-10. Whites were being hit by cars, getting back up and running away. Then there were all the rest. We didn't get too many vamps, and the ones we did were young, so apparently the Mava didn't have the strength to enslave the strong-willed. Yet. Keep in mind, it was basically a baby. They didn't all turn up at once, or we'd never have stood a chance. But the firefight outside while we were fighting the Kifo worms was getting pretty intense. The truly fun part was that it wasn't just human undead. Try slime-covered, zombified cats for size. They might have been roadkill. They might have been previously buried pets. We never checked. And bats, and raccoons, possums, dogs, dog zombies. What we hadn't noticed while we'd been spraying worms was that we were getting fucking overrun. We went from water to fire to guns and grenades. When they closed to hand-to-hand range, Mono Ken slid out of its sheath. I quickly discovered that if I slashed through the tentacles shielding the undead, the wardstone would take care of the rest.
I got hit with a lot of fragments and goo from exploding shamblers. As they got closer, Sam had switched to bashing things with his 203 until he broke the plastic stock off over a White's head. Looking around, he picked up Al Gordon's abandoned 45-70 lever action rifle and started in with that.
"This thing rocks,"
he said, crushing the skull of a ghoul dog.
"Yeah," I said, taking off a shambler's head. "As a gun, it makes a great club."
Milo's flamethrower was out. I picked up the quiescent fire hose. Then I noticed there was no pressure.
"I need holy water!"
"One of them must have figured out how it worked,"
the boss shouted.
"Pump's dead!"
We were in dire straits, deep shit, and doomed. The interior of the warehouse was ankle-deep flooded with once holy water, Mava juice, the foam that resulted when they mixed, blood, guts, limbs, and assorted body parts, floating kifo chunks, and sinking brass. At the beginning of this memoir, I already wrote about those last few moments. Again, it sucked. I was about to go tell St. Pete hello like I'd promised that weird exorcist I would. Oh, yeah. And him? I keep my promises. Won't write about how I saw him take down a kifo worm with nothing but a sword. But to reiterate, don't mess with a mystical holy warrior. That's when a flaming portal opened in the floor, the Fae showed up, and everything got even weirder. The wild hunt was terrible to behold. Armed with spears crackling with purple energy, they were lightly armored and their fey visages could be seen with the naked eye. Under the sodium lights of the warehouse, they were even worse to see than the other times I'd had to deal with them. They were massive, 7 feet tall, gut-wrenchingly horrible to look at, their armor in all the colors of the rainbow. Their multi-legged mounts were more like narrow beetles or spiders than real horses. The hunt tore into the undead with fury. Their spears tore into the mass of undead, blasting them with fairy fire. The blasts were more powerful than the 40-millimeter rounds we'd been using. Zombies were blown apart. The dying kifo worms virtually disintegrated. They slammed into the mass of undead, slaughtering them mercilessly and pressing them back to holes in the walls. Suddenly a series of blasts came in on our position, and I hit the deck as undead were blasted into constituent particles around me. My ears were ringing, and I could barely see. When I looked up, it was at one being I'd hoped to never see again in my life. Queen Kirla Rathiane Pinello Shalana. A few years back, I'd bound her and her court in a Harper's challenge, and then, by a very in-depth and complicated contract. Fae had very long memories, and they did not like to be bound. "Truce," I said from the foam-covered floor.
"Why do you think I'm here, you idiot?" she said, holding her hand out.
Thank God she was in glamour in her usual business suit, because there is ugly, and then there is fey ugly. From the look on the remaining half of Boss Shackelford's face, he wasn't sure to throw the grenade in his good hand at the fey or not. They were scary as all get out, but they hadn't attacked us, and the drill rig was once again clear of undead.
"Friendlies?"
"Yes, sir. Hopefully. These are the ones I met in Seattle."
"Very well, then."
He got on his radio.
"Hey, Earl, if you see some weird fey goings on, don't shoot at them. They're Hans' acquaintances from Seattle."
"Okay," I said, struggling to get off the slippery floor. The Queen did not offer her hand. "Now I know I'm hallucinating. This is a dream as I'm dying, right?
I am here to keep an old one from gaining a foothold in a world I occasionally happen to enjoy. I have other things to do than bandy words with an idiot, she said. I'll leave that to my equally idiotic daughter. And she vanished.
Still hallucinating? I said as Shalala strolled up to me. Thankfully, she was also in human form, with bib overalls, with really big hair. She was wearing rubber Wellingtons, which were faintly steaming from the touch of the holy foam on the floor.
Grody! Any way you could, like, quit pointing that thing at me? The fairy princess asked Father Ferguson, who was keeping his cross extended between them. The white god is, like, totally judgy and bossy.
Father Ferguson lowered his cross slightly and looked at me.
Friend of yours?
He asked, with that tone. The, if you have friends like these, we need to talk tone.
Sort of, I said carefully.
Shalala, hi? Thought you were leaving the planet.
I called Mom after you left and, like, told her I totally needed to leave, Shalala said. But she said, like, hell no or whatever. I was all, like, bound or something, so she, like, called up our court's wild hunt.
It wasn't a battle. It was a massacre. I realized then why the MCB was so terrified of Faye. I'd never really gotten it until that moment. My only previous experience was with binding them. Doing that made them seem weak. They're anything but. Shalala might be a dingbat with a short attention span, but she was a scary dingbat.
Chapter 23. I was up on the hammered battlements of the warehouse surveying the damage. The battle was over. The streets were littered with corpses and body parts, most of them scorched beyond recognition. MHI had expended ammunition by the ton. It was going to be a bitch to clean up. It was apparent when the Mava finally bit the dust. Kifo worms were getting fewer and fewer, but they were still trying to nose in hours later. Then, one by one, they just collapsed and turned into foul-smelling mush. The mud was coming up clean. Relatively clean. There was still tons of dead larval old one down there. But now we were rinsing it out like a cyst. The evil bombardment was gone. The goo was just goo. The sun was rising on a new and improved, old one free New Orleans. Queen Shalana suddenly appeared before me. The other hunters on the roof didn't even seem to notice. They were too tired. And she looked normal. The scary Fae had long since disappeared. Only a few of us humans had interacted with them at all.
I'd apologize for arriving so late to the battle, but I do not apologize to humans.
Better late than never, I said. Despite our somewhat hostile history,
may I ask why? The old ones are as much a threat to us as humans. We were battling them before you apes first began chiseling your history onto stone tablets. Kill an old one, and the whole universe rejoices. It is always better to kill them while they are larvae. When my daughter told me of your warning, I summoned the hunt. Then I had to ask for permission to intervene.
Permission? I have known your king for many years, Shalana said, smiling.
Since he was a mere actor in pictures. He was good. I like his films. Better than the trash they make these days.
She looked up and a moment later I heard the sound of helicopters.
His minions, on the other hand, were less than thrilled by their orders. I must go. There may be issues when they arrive. Their pet monster hates our kind, and vice versa. By the way, according to my new agreement with your king, our previous contract has been nullified. My daughter's court is free to leave Seattle.
I'm sure they will miss her. She turned and looked at me with vertically pupiled purple eyes.
I hope we never encounter each other again, Bard, because unless it is for such a cause, be assured,
I will rip your soul from your body and torture it for 1,000 years.
Got it, I said. Still have to say thanks.
And she was gone.
If you think you can get away with causing a Class 5 event and allying with the Fae, you are wrong.
Director Wagner himself had turned up.
Well, my boys briefed you in on this, asshole, and you did diddly squat.
Boss Shackelford wasn't about to back down to no MCB bureaucrat asshole. The MCB had shown up too late to participate in anything other than cleanup and cover-up. Franks was looking more pissed than usual, probably because there wasn't anything left to kill. And he hated politics.
Director Wagner, I said, nodding. I take it you're planning on rounding us all up and putting us in docket for alliance with the Fae, was it?
You just butt out of this, Gardenier,
Wagner said. He was normally considered very diplomatic and capable of lying right to your face with ease. Not at the moment. You might want to talk to the president about that first, unless you want the arrest warrant you serve on Camp David to be a surprise.
What?
Wagner said. Now that I'd said that, I sure hoped the Queen hadn't been yanking my chain.
You had your chance to end a threat, Wagner, and you chickened out.
The boss shook his hook hand at the MCB director disapprovingly.
See that giant pile of body parts over yonder? That's all puff applicable. Those big old chunks of translucent blubber floating by? Puff applicable. The slug god we're still dredging up? Puff applicable. And when New Orleans' outbreak rate drops like a stone next quarter? Stats don't lie. And the select committee loves it some stats. You cross my company right now, you're cutting your own throat. And you know it.
Especially when it comes out there were MCB just sitting at the Marine base nearby waiting to see how it shook out so they could swoop in at the last minute to blame us if it all went wrong. It was just a wild guess on my part, but from his reaction, I was right.
How dare you, Wagner said, grinding his teeth. I'll have you.
I said, raising a finger and speaking very fast.
$100 million out of MCB's budget if you or Frank so much as lift a finger without probable cause.
Old man Shackelford snorted at that one. And as for your assertion that we were allied with the Fae, I continued, where is your probable cause?
I don't see any Fae here. If any just showed up on their own, what were we supposed to do about it?
We were kind of busy.
I'm sure that the good holy men present here will be hard-pressed to say that they saw any Fae.
How could you suggest any such thing, Director? All I see is an alliance of many different faiths, proof that America's constitutional guarantee of freedom of religion is working. Allied to destroy an unholy and ancient evil, your organization has been unable to find, much less battle, for what was it?
A really long time. The boss answered. And one of those witnesses you'll need to testify is the geologist who tried to warn you about the existence of this monster 20 years ago. Too bad y'all ignored him. That will make your bureau look brilliant. You do not want to go there with me, Wagner ground out.
Going to have me beaten half to death? I asked.
Or possibly try to pull our charter? The boss said. Look, Director. After this little debacle, I'll be amazed if you have a job. You might not have realized just how bad this was going to get, but you deliberately left it to the local authorities, and they used us. And it turned into, well, this. I've had about enough of your empty threats, and I'm too damned old to take a beating. So either start to arresting, or get the hell out of my way.
For once, Wagner was speechless.
That's right. It has dawned upon you just how badly you have done. You better cover your ass, boy, because it is about to start raining fire. Today, we're the heroes, and you're just the cleanup crew. So hop to it.
In case you're wondering, backhoes. Lots of backhoes. It was like moving a massive earth mound. Upside was, in New Orleans, you could easily find some grading contractors who were on MCB's list of people who were read in. The scariest thing about the whole cleanup was that we found out MCB has portable incinerators. I want to think that that's just because some bureaucrat was forward-thinking and foresaw that there might be a huge undead outbreak someday. But the fact that the United States government has massive portable incinerators for bodies scares the shit out of me to this day. The surviving drillers didn't have any problems with Moffat juice. There was a holy man or woman standing behind every one of them, praying over them and keeping the power of the Mava back. I hadn't wanted to get stuck with cleanup duty. I would have rather done like most of MHI, which was still in town, and been hunting straggler undead who'd gotten animated by the Mava but who hadn't made it here in time to get destroyed. But sadly, the boss had taken a liking to me, and I had been drafted as his gopher. When Raymond Shackelford III declares you his assistant, you say, "Thank you, sir. May I fetch you another coffee?" I spent days working and sleeping in the mostly destroyed warehouse. Third day after the battle, Special Agent Showalter showed up. Make that newly minted acting director Showalter. He had been the first MCB agent I ever met, and just as dickish as they tended to be. On the other hand, he took a slightly different tack than Wagner, or at least played the game that way. "It's New Orleans," Showalter said after shaking the old man's remaining hand. "No issues. People know something happened. From what I've gotten, you could hear the gunfire and explosions at the Marine base across the river. Then there were all the people who saw the undead making their way through the town, and the undead that are still roaming around in cemeteries shows something major happened. We'll put the truth in the truth-teller and be done with it. We truly did everything we could to avoid witnesses or civilian casualties, Director." It was remarkable how much more diplomatic and polite the boss was when he was dealing with an agent who was not yet proven to be a coward or an idiot. The safest thing would have been to not pick the fight at all, but I've already been informed by the committee such hypothetical might-have-beens are off the table. So, for all the efforts you took to keep this from public view, thank you. The timing, the warehouse, arranging the evacuation, that is all appreciated. Such consideration makes our job so much easier. You have no idea how rare those words are coming from a man in your position. We'd already gotten the word that Special Agent Campbell had had to be committed. The stress had finally gotten to him, and he'd had a complete nervous breakdown. I had Remy send flowers.
"So, no problems with our charter?" Ray III asked dubiously.
"The biggest problem is going to be the puff paperwork," Showalter said. "Who gets what credit? We've got streaks of terminated undead that seem to have occurred from airdrop napalm strikes. Assuming that was you," he added dryly.
"Might have had some help."
He wasn't about to admit to having our temporary allies lobbing magical fairy fire.
"I won't go so far as to say heavenly help, like all these fine religious folks. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, only goes so far," Showalter said. "But in this case, if you happen to have had some help from entities which are normally puff applicable, no harm, no foul. Again, it got the job done, and we didn't. A point that several very senior people made to me when I was appointed interim director. As to the friendly enemies, everybody in this business has odd contacts." He looked at me as he said that.
"I know people," I said, trying to look innocent.
"In this case, I'd say that was a good thing," Showalter said. "In this case."
I said I know people. Nothing about them liking me. There's some people for values of people I hope I never see again. Because they've explained to me what they're going to do to me, and it isn't pretty.
"On the puff," Showalter said, "we're going to give MHI 80% of what's in the immediate area. The remaining 20% goes to a series of Swiss bank accounts
I was handed by the president. I'm sure that's another Iran-Contra thing, and going to shadowy black ops, and not to beings we normally shoot on sight. You okay with that?
Sounds fair.